Tonight we're going to be looking a little bit different direction. I thought with the individuals being baptized, it would be a great night to talk about something a little bit different, but still on the same theme that we've been talking about and looking in the book of Colossians. As we've been studying through Colossians chapter 3, we've seen that what we need is new life in Christ. Put off the old man, put on the new man. Put off the old sin nature, put on the nature that Christ has given us. Put on the Spirit to live in Him. And as we think about baptism, this idea where we just brought seven people up and symbolically took them dry, immersed them under the water, and when they came back up, they were something different. They weren't dry anymore. They were wet. But when we trust Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, something happens. There is a change in our life, and Jesus Christ does an amazing miracle, and we are no longer the same. And so as we look in the Word of God tonight, that's what we want to talk about. Because there is a problem that each and every single one of us have, and that is a sin problem. And sin destroys, it ruins, it kills. And as they were coming up here and we were getting ready for baptism and stuff, I was thinking about something that happened to my finger. I cut it last week and I had to get some stitches. And as I went into the doctor's office and I got those stitches, I relayed a story to him that happened at Path of Life Camp. We had a horse named Beauty. And we sent Beauty off to be bred. And while she was there getting bred, the stallion beat her up quite badly. And she had, when I went to pick her up, she had a scar on her back. This wound that was so deep, so long, so wide, that before I did anything to it, I had to get my tape measure out and measure it. That's how bad it was. And so as I took this wound and I got ready to doctor it up, I took my tape measure and I measured across 18 inches. And then I measured the width 8 inches wide. Oh, I wondered how she even survived something like that right on her shoulder. So every day I would come and I would doctor her up and I'd clean that wound. And before you know it, as it began to heal and stuff, every day there was just a little bit more dead skin that if I would have left it, it would have rotted, would have got infected, and it would have killed her. So I had to take and I had to trim away that old dead skin. Oh, it's not good. It kind of disgusting. And I had to clean it up and clean it up and clean it up. That was my job every afternoon. And I'd put a bandage on it, but how long do you think the bandage lasted? Yeah. Right? And when we think about fixes for, and we think about sin and the problem that it is, it's a lot worse than that. And I'm sure everyone in this room has talked to someone and you've been in those situations where the problem is worse than that. And it's more damaging than that. And the world can put bandages on these problems, but just like a horse that you try to put a bandage on, we try to put a bandage on our sin problem. No. It's not going to stay. We need real, the great physician, new life in Jesus Christ. We need Him to give us that salvation and to make us into something new. And that wasn't an easy thing to do. Every day I had to go and I had to clean that wound. And I had to trim it back for weeks and weeks and weeks. It wasn't an easy thing. But you know what? A couple years ago, I was sitting back and I was just looking at Beauty. And all she had was this tiny little scar that just ran right along her shoulder. Skin had all come back in place, had healed. You hardly knew that there was, other than that little scar. And the scar was always there to remind me of what had happened. But lots of work, lots of cleaning, was healed. And that shoulder looked like new. And I think if we were left to ourselves to fix our sin problem, we'd be about as good as a horse with a ripped up shoulder. We could maybe chew at it. The flies would get in. Infections would grow. It would only get worse. But we need Jesus Christ to really give us that new life. I'd really like us to look in the book of Colossians chapter 3. And we're going to look in Ephesians chapter 4 at another passage. And we're going to kind of talk about this new life in Christ. And its meaning to what happened here in the waters of baptism just a few minutes ago. In Colossians chapter 3, in verse 1, I want to read verses 1 to 17. It says, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which were above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these things: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." As I think about sin and the sins that we see here, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, idolatry, lying. These sins destroy. They destroy your heart. And they don't just destroy your heart. They begin to infect the people around you. Your family, your neighbors, the people you work with. And they destroy lives if not taken care of. But Jesus Christ came to this earth to take care of that sin problem. You saw here it says, put to death these things. When I think about that horse and the sin problem, the scar that she had on her shoulder, We had to cut away the bad so the healing could take place. And then I had to take some medicine and put it in and put something good on there and clean it all up. That's what Jesus Christ wants to do. And then you saw here the things that you were to put off and to put on. Above all these things, put on love. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. We have been talking about these things on Sunday nights. How love is something that is paramount to the believer's new life. Love is going to drive them to treat others differently. Love is going to be something that is going to allow forgiveness to be a vital part of what's going on in their heart. That's going to make a difference. To have the kind of love that Christ had for us. Not the kind of love that the world has. But a love that is sacrificial. A love that puts others before itself. A love that is willing to lay down its life for those in need. We talked about letting the peace of God rule in your hearts. About how we need that standard in our life to tell us what is right and wrong. The standard isn't based on our opinion. The standard isn't based on something someone said with a pretty tongue. The standard is based on something that will last forever, the Word of God. Where we find the rules and regulations that ought to guide our heart. And then we talked about letting the Word of Christ dwell in our hearts. Take up residence. Move in and make itself at home. It's by doing these things that we find that we have this new man, this new life. And for the believer in Jesus Christ, it's taking the old life and casting it aside and becoming something different. Whenever we talk about baptism, I always like to picture a white shirt. I've got a white shirt on under this one. I'm not going to show it to you. But it looks a lot different than this blue one. Right? Looks a lot. I see some red shirts out there. It looks a lot different than the reds or the purples that we see. And when I think of baptism, when I think of new life in Christ, it's taking that white t-shirt and putting it to death. It's time and it needs to be something new. And dipping it into that vat of dye, getting it all the way down in. And when it's pulled out, it's something completely different. For a new purpose. Something to be hung in a place of honor. And as I see the new life that we're supposed to find in Christ, that's what I see here. So these seven people that came up here tonight and said, I believe and trust in Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And that's important to me. They told you where that took place in their life. They said, I'm done with the old. And I want that new life in Christ. It'll set me free. And as I put them underwater for a second, like I said, there was nothing magical in that water. There's nothing that's not going to get them to heaven. But they were showing to the world what Jesus Christ has already done in their heart when they trusted him as their personal Savior. And now there's something new going on inside of them. And now what they need to do is they need to act new. They need to live new. And we as a church body, we need to encourage them to be doing those things new in Christ. They need to be in the Word of God. That is going to make a difference in their life. Because the world's still going to pull. It's still going to want to drive them back to sin. But they need to be in this book and to let it take up residence in their heart. In Psalm 119, there was someone one time when a sin had made a scar in my heart. He said, if you want to fix your heart, if you want victory over this sin, take Psalm 119:9. Commit it to memory and practice it and live it. In Psalm 119:9, and if you don't have it, and those of you who are baptized tonight, if there's a verse that I have shared this with so many people, when it comes to sin, this is the verse I go to. But in Psalm 119, in verse 9, it says, "How can a young man cleanse his way? But by taking heed according to your word." Sin's going to want to creep in. It's going to want to destroy. But just like a wound that needs to be healed, our hearts need to be clean. We need to be pure in heart. And the remedy to that is by reading and listening to and obeying the word of God. Tonight, I'd like you to take your Bibles and I'd like you to open to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17, it says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to walk all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you may put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." These people that came here tonight and said, "I want to follow Jesus Christ in believer's baptism," have said, "I want new life in Christ." And they are on their way. They have started the journey with all the rest of us towards their heavenly home. They've trusted Jesus Christ. And they're on their way home. But along the way, the devil is going to try and trip them up. He's going to try and pull them off the path. And it's very important to us as a church that we come alongside them and we encourage them to live for Christ. There was a number of young ladies who came up here and said they trusted Jesus Christ and their personal Savior. They need other ladies in the church to come alongside them and to help them grow in the Lord, to walk that new life, to live in righteousness and holiness. There are a number of young men. They need to be discipled. They need phone calls. They need to be encouraged in the Lord. They need to be admonished when things are going wrong. And us as the church body, we need to come together. We need to serve together to help them mature in their relationship with Jesus Christ. And maybe tonight, if you're here, you watched what these people did. You heard their testimonies of how they accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. You thought about the example that I gave of a scar. And you think about the sin in your life and the things that have destroyed your heart, are destroying your family, destroying the relationships around you, and you want to start that healing process that the world cannot provide, that you'll only find at the foot of the cross through Jesus Christ and his shed blood. Maybe tonight is the night where you decide, "I want new life in Christ. I want to follow Jesus Christ." I want to trust in him as my personal Savior. Those waters of baptism, we can turn that on again next week if we have to. And we'd be very excited too. Come, search me out. Search Pastor Baker out. One of the deacons. Maybe somebody here. I know there are a lot of people here that would make their night to open a Bible and show you how you could have that new relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe tonight's that night. You say, that sin is destroying me. It's ripping me apart. I need that healing salve, the blood of Jesus Christ, that's made a difference in your heart, in the people sitting in these pews' heart. And I need to find out what Jesus Christ can do to change my life. That'd be the greatest thing we could ever experience. And we'd be so excited to show you how you can know for sure that Jesus Christ is taking care of your sin problem and you're on your way to heaven. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for these seven people that have come tonight and said, we trust in Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. We want to follow him in baptism. We know that sin was something that needed to be taken care of. And we gave our heart over to you. And we are so excited about that. And Lord, I pray that if there is someone here tonight that does not know you as their personal Savior, that today might be the day that they trust in you as their personal Savior and they find out the healing that you can provide at the cross for their sin problem. In your Son, Jesus' name we pray. Amen.